help me to do what I need to do, Lord, and help me to accomplish through this word what you want accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm using the NIV Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're reading verse 11 to 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 to 16. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And I've chosen for my text this morning 2 Chronicles verse 14. No, wait. Yes, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I want you to read that with me, okay? Where does it start? Would you put up verse 14, please? Okay, if you can't get it, you know it well enough. I want us to say it together, okay? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I'm going to be speaking this morning on prayer. There's no way I'm going to cover the whole subject this morning. There could be many, many, many sermons on prayer. But I'm going to try to share what I believe God has laid upon my heart. I believe Chauvin Gospel Center was established on prayer. It was established by prayer. And it was established for prayer. Am I right? Amen. And I was reading this portion of scripture, and it was saying, my temple, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself, and I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And I think that that's God's desire for Chauvin Gospel Center. Right? We can't veer off the way. We got to stay focused. And as I'm going to be sharing this morning, I don't want you to think I'm being critical or condemning or harsh or anything like that, and I don't profess to be an expert on prayer. But as your co-shepherd, I really feel strongly to preach this sermon. I think it is to remind you and to keep you on track or to get you back on track that we, and because I love you, certainly, we do things out of love. I love you, everyone. That as a church body, and maybe individually, we may have strayed from the importance and the priority of prayer. I can't judge you. You know how healthy your spirit you are spiritually. But a good gauge would be your prayer life. Not necessarily how many hours you spend in prayer and the Word, and they go together. They always go together. They're hand in hand. But where's prayer on your priority list? Once you become a child of God, and that has to be your first prayer, a prayer of repentance and asking God for forgiveness and then become a child of God. And then when you start to pray, of course, Jesus tells us, when you come to the altar to pray, if you have something or discord between you and your brother or sister, don't bother trying to pray. Go back and make it right. And I believe that before we start to pray, We need to, to the best of our ability, make sure that we have things right between our brothers and sisters. I believe that that is a first or second prerequisite. You're not going to get anywhere. And God will usually, if your heart is open, God will usually show it to you anyway. You remember, you know, you don't, you know, there's something between you and him or her. And I believe that that is a top priority, that we need to have things right as best as we can between each other before we can pray effectively. And once you become a Christian, you become very quickly aware that we have an enemy who does everything in his power to keep you from spending time in communion and conversation with God. Does anybody agree? Thank you. The Hebrew word meaning for prayer is an evolving means of interacting with God. An evolving means of interacting with God in the secular, or Google, says intercession and devotion. Billy Graham calls it, says, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And I've read this book by Marie Miller, Pray Simply, Simply Pray. It's a very good book. I would recommend you to read it if you're having trouble with your prayer life or you want to get it on track. Pray Simply, Simply Pray. And it's very simple to read, easy to read, and you can really get something out of it. I fear, and I think it's the Lord giving me the fear. It's not a fear in the sense that we may know it, but I believe it's a caution or an urgence from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, that the church has allowed themselves to fall for the tactics of the enemy in believing that prayer, consistent prayer, persistent prayer, is not as necessary today as it was in our Father's day. That we are self-sufficient. We got everything else that's self-sufficient. Push button. Even when we go to visit our grandchildren, in their home, they have on the top of the microwave some little outfit, and it says, and they speak to it and say, Google or Spotify, play whatever, and it comes on. But it doesn't work that way with God. You've got to say more than just say, God, play or do this. I think prayer needs to be a little more than just a push button. It's not going to work. I'm wondering, has the enemy convinced us and tricked us into thinking that you don't have time to pray? You're too busy, and he'll make sure you're too busy, too. You don't need to pray. You don't really need to pray and spend time in the Word. You don't really need to do that. It's a waste of time anyway. Has it accomplished anything? What's it really going to accomplish? And do you really, really think that praying, your prayers especially, are going to make any difference? And these are the things that we fall for. Personally speaking, and I'm thinking I may have some identity among you here this morning. The devil is good at his job. I'm not here to give him credit, but we know. We know that he's a sly old fox. And he's sly. And you got to be on your toes. You've got to be on your toes. How are you doing? I don't know if you fall into any of these categories this morning. And if the enemy can succeed at defeating your prayer life and your time in the Word, what Jesus calls abiding in the vine, you will be an ineffective, weak Christian. And it's the basic facts. It's the basic facts. It may sound old-fashioned, but it's still the facts. And corporately as a church, if you're weak, you're weak, you're weak, you're not doing that. And corporately as a church, we are going to be very ineffective and be, as Jesus says, able to do nothing. I think we need to recognize that. We will be able to do nothing. I'm tired of doing nothing. Seeing nothing. You know? John 15:5-6 says, if a man remains in me and I in him, apart from me, you can do nothing. It's not my opinion. It's the word of God. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. Does it always come natural or easy to spend time in prayer? Oh, no, it does not. It can be hard work. I experienced that even last night. We came home from Nikki and Keenan's anniversary, and I was feeling a little bit tired or whatever, you know, stuff going on. And I sat down in my rocking chair. I have my own little rocking chair. And I love to do crosswords, you know, or any kind of word things. And I thought, I don't think I'm just going to sit here and do some crosswords. But then I thought, you know, you need to spend time in prayer. And the battle was on. No, I'm going to sit down and do these crosswords. You better get in and have some time in prayer. And doesn't that the battle go on? I went in and had some time in prayer and did relaxed after. It's not, so it doesn't come natural and easy. It's not the easiest thing and the most natural thing that we want to do. There's such conflict sometimes to spend that time in prayer. And it's always a choice. My husband has said, you know, you will make time to do what you really want to do. And isn't that true? Now, I know that I'm not here to put a guilt trip on you or condemn you or make you feel defeated because maybe you haven't been spending that time in prayer or you find it difficult to spend the time in prayer because you are legitimately busy, and I know what it's like. I have been legitimately busy, and I've only had 2 children and a husband. And we are legitimately busy. We have to work. You have to tend the crops. You have to sow the seeds. You have to do the laundry. You have to feed your children. I'm not talking about saying forget everything else that you got to do. Forget life, and all you got to do now is pray. That's unrealistic. That's not going to happen. But because I've been there. When some people have more time for prayer than others, but what I believe God wants to say through this message is this morning is take a personal evaluation. And evaluate ourselves as a church, because we are a corporate body, and we are joined to one another whether we like it or not, and whether we realize it or not. And as a church, we need to pray together corporately. It's good individually, but God made us in the Bible, in the New Testament, they prayed together corporately. And brothers and sisters, you may not realize it, but there's something about getting together. I know you say, I don't have time, and there's this and there's that. But maybe you need to make a little extra time. I don't know. But there is, when you can do it, or if you will do it, there is some power and there's something extra about getting together with other brothers and sisters and joining together in prayer, sharing your needs, hopefully confidentially. We've shared some things, and we've brought situations and needs together in corporate prayer. And you know you're not bearing the burden alone. There's something about that. I'm wondering, have we accepted the devil's lies that you really are too busy? Or any of the other excuses? It's not really necessary. And I believe that I'm just an ambassador. I'm just telling you this. If you don't like me after, well... take that up with the one who told me to say this. But I really feel really, really convicted and concerned that we need to take back some territory here. We really do. I'm urgent about it. And we may need to make some changes in our lives and in our attitudes, but brothers and sisters, we can't just sit on the fence anymore. We really got to get down to business. Just as if you stop eating and drinking, which very few of us do, I'd say. But if you don't take in food and water for your physical well-being and the strength to do what you need to do, just as you do not take in the Word of God in prayer on a regular basis, just as it happens to us that we eventually die, slowly die. If you stop eating and drinking... our nurse is here this morning, she knows, and I know, it's common sense, I suppose, that we cannot go without food and drink for very long. And it's just the same as if, and you cannot go without the word and prayer very long, or you will die. And probably just slowly die, because you don't realize it. You don't realize it's happening. And it happens slowly. And I believe that it will mean the difference between your personal victory and effectiveness in this world. What Sarah was talking about this morning, effectiveness and reaching out, is not going to happen. You can try all the tricks and trades that you want, but it's not going to happen if we don't maintain prayer and the word as our priority. It will mean the difference between the victory and effectiveness of this church and the difference between, or the defeat of our church. And our church doors, I hate to say it, will eventually close. It happens because we die. We don't have the power, and you're not going to get it any other way unless you abide in the vine. I feel like a big boss up here this morning, but I'm not. I'm telling you the truth, and I believe this is what God wants us to say. And I know it's been confirmed to me personally. I won't get into how that happened, but it was so interesting. When I was preparing this sermon, I got a message from someone, talking about how I believe we need to get back to prayer. And I said, well, I'm preparing a sermon now on prayer. You go for it, she said. Like I said, I'm not telling you what to do, but it's what God, I believe, wants us to hear. For example, when our boys were home and they were going to school, probably getting up towards teenagers now, because when they were younger, we just say, you're getting up for school. Up to, you would get, you know, in the younger grades, you get them out of bed. You don't ask them to get out of bed. You get them out of bed. When they got up a little bit older, like you guys here, our two boys had two different reactions to when they were called for school. We would go to one of the boys' rooms and say, time to get up for school. He'd say, yep, most of the time. On his feet, got himself dressed, his hair fixed, he's ready for school. To the other boy, we would say, time to get up for school. And he'd say, ugh, don't even say it. And he'd pull the covers up over his head and turn in. No interest. You probably had to go back to that boy and give him a couple of more calls. Time to get up. Time to get up. And you may react to one of these ways this morning when I'm talking about prayer. You might say, yep, I'm with you. Or you might say, ugh, don't even say it. But you're going to hear it anyway. You're going to school anyway. Like we had to say, but get up. You've got to go to school. And it's just as important. Guys, come on. God wants us to hear something this morning. God longs for his children to come or to call or to spend time with him. We sing the song, you know, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do we carry everything to God in prayer? What peace we often forfeit. Do we forfeit a lot of peace and a lot of answers because we do not take everything to God in prayer? I know, not necessarily out of duty, but because we want to. And I know with our going back to our boys again, because they're the best example, I see our son in Wetaskiwin fairly often and talk to him fairly often, which is good. But our other son in Germany, that's another story. I see him probably once a year, and he doesn't call all that often. But when Justin calls from Germany, from Europe, the ringtone on my phone is different. I have the regular ringtone. If one of you call me, I know that's my phone ringing. When Justin calls, it's a different ringtone, and I know it. I say, oh, that's Justin. You know, because I haven't heard from him for a while. That's Justin. How do you know he's calling? You know, I get excited. I do. I'm a bit crazy with my boys probably, but that's Justin calling because it doesn't happen real often, and I'm thinking, I better take advantage of this and enjoy it, you know. And I think that's the way it is with God. When you call on him, you say, that's good, I'm so glad you're calling, you know. And when you don't, you know what it's like when you never hear from your children? I hope it's not the case, but maybe it is. If you never hear from them, and you get the feeling that they don't even want to talk to me. They got no time for me. They don't want to talk to me. Well, I wonder if God gets hurt sometimes like that when his children say, I really don't have time for you, God, until I want something. I don't mind my boys asking for something if it's legitimate and I can help them. But if I only hear from them and they say, by the way, well, where have you been? This time, I haven't heard from you. And my boys don't call and ask for anything. But if they did, of course, I would bend over backwards to do it like you would for your children. But I believe God longs to hear from his children because he wants to have a relationship with you. He's not just up there for a push button when you feel like you need someone, something. It's a relationship. If my husband and I never talk to each other, we might be married. Yeah, we got a ring on our finger, but that doesn't mean two rolls of beans if we don't have a relationship. It's just a symbol. And you may be saved, but if you don't have a relationship with your Father, there's something. You're missing something. You're really missing out on something. And God, I believe he's hurt when we don't take some time to spend with him in prayer. For something, yeah, he wants us to come when we have needs. Yes, he does. And he'll meet them according to his wisdom and will. But brothers and sisters, don't let time go and go and go and go and never talk to your Heavenly Father. Never let that happen. And another reason why we need to pray, not only because our Father likes for us to do it, and it's good for us, it's our strength, but how many others do you know are relying upon you for prayer? They don't even realize it, but they're depending on your prayers. They really are. And maybe someone comes in your mind today, I don't know. And I'm sure that if I were to give the time this morning, I would ask some people here, and they would give testimonies of answers to prayer. Why do we pray? How many times have you gotten a phone call or a text, or I have, or even here in the service, and they say, would you remember me in prayer? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And that's just not words. They mean it. And you should do it. I know lots of people say, would you pray for me? And I say, yeah. And hopefully I remember. But honestly, if we had to pray for everyone that asked for prayer, we'd be on our knees all day. But say a prayer at the time. Max Lucado says, he's an awesome writer, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble. But since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it, our prayers do make a difference. You may feel like, what difference will my prayers make? And that's one trick of the enemy to make you stop praying. And I picked up this bookmark somewhere. I'm not even sure where I got it. It's a picture of a woman praying, and it says, never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. I wanted to do one off for you, but I think it's copyright, and I would be committing a crime. But you have it? No, I'm... But never underestimate the power of prayer. You might feel like you're wasting your time and you're not accomplishing anything because there's sometimes when we don't see the answers to our prayers. I wish I could, like the Spotify or the Google, once I speak it, that it's done. But it doesn't always work that way. And that's where your consistency and your persistency comes in. And I want to encourage you, if you're getting discouraged in prayer, I haven't seen it happen, and I'm with you. All those things I wish, oh, Lord, where are you? When are you ever going to answer? But he's got it all. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. There's no set formula or a way or an amount of time to pray. Just do it. Remember the old saying, used to be, I don't even know where it came from. Don't just think about it. Do it, do it, do it. And isn't it time for us to do it? You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can walk, you can cry, you can shout, you can talk, you can fast and pray, you can thank him, you can intercede, you can do whatever you want. You can stand on your head. But if you're praying and your heart is open to God, it works. I can't pray like you, and you're not going to pray like me. I'm quiet, and I like to just, it's me and God. But if you want to shout, if you want to, however you want to cry, I've cried lots. I like to cry when I get something really burdened, especially for my sons. I'll get before the Lord and I'll cry because they mean so much to me and I don't want to see them lost. And I'll cry and I'll plead before the Lord. And then I'll say, okay, Lord, I got to leave it with you. And isn't that the way it is with so many situations? But he still wants us to ask. He wants us to recognize that, look, I want you to bring this to me. We're in this together. God is with you. God is for you. Wherever you are, if you're out in the tractor, if you're out in the with the stinky turkeys. And they stink sometimes. No, I don't mean that in a bad way. Your turkeys don't stink. Oh, my. Yeah, they do. When you go in that place, we've been up to visit, and it's a little bit stuffy sometimes, isn't it? Right? And you got to put on these things over your shoes because you don't get something things on your feet. And it's stuffy, and you smell poo. But you can still pray and you're with your turkeys. Or wherever you are, whatever you're doing, doesn't mean you've got to stop somewhere to pray. I've prayed lots of times wherever I feel like, oh God, I need you here. You know what I mean? Lord, you know this situation? Oh, and I'm not kneeling and I'm not stopping, but I'm praying. God is not particular, you know. Sometimes when you try to complicate it too much, you're defeated because the trick of the enemy is to get you complicated. Get it complicated. Prayer is the simplest thing in this world that you can do if you want to. No more than it's hard for me to talk to Linda. It shouldn't be hard for me to talk to my father. Reverend David Jeremiah says, prayer is the way to defeat the devil, reach the lost, restore a backslider, strengthen the saints, send missionaries out, cure the sick, accomplish the impossible, and know the will of God. And why would we not pray? John Bunyan says, prayer will make a man cease from sin. Excuse me. As sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, and if you're in prayer, you're not as likely to sin. A big mistake has been made by people who have been Christians because they've let their prayer life go and they become weak. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, as sin will entice a man to cease from prayer. And the Bible backs that up. It says, watch and pray that you may not fall into temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, how prone we are to wander. How prone we are to sin if we don't keep the cup full, if you don't keep it full. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And I believe if there was ever a day when we as Christians need to be watchful, we need to stand on the word, because brothers and sisters, we can be as easily drawn into what used to be sin and now is considered not, to the morals of the world, and we can be let our guard down, and we can become as the world in some ways if we do not be watchful. Watch yourself every day, because the enemy is out there and he will try to get you to be worldly. I still think there's standards. Not everything goes. And I'm old-fashioned, so there you go. But I think we need to be on our guard. Guard your heart, guard your soul, guard your mind. Because, brothers and sisters, you just need to watch TV now and you say, ooh, you know, will I fall into that? Yeah, you could. He, the man that thinketh he standeth, or woman, take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you fall. And my last quote, and this was an interesting one, and I'm getting through. This was an interesting one that I came across. It's by Charles Spurgeon, one of the great preachers years ago. He said, shall I give you yet another reason why you should pray? I have preached my heart out. Will not your prayers accomplish that which my preaching fails to do? Is it not likely that the church has been putting forth its preaching hand, but not its praying hand? Oh, dear friends, let us agonize in prayer. Your preacher, you've got a good preacher. And he needs prayer. And that's not to say that he's weak, but your preacher needs prayer. His marriage needs prayer. And we have a good marriage. He needs to be covered every day in prayer. Why? Because he's human. He's a human, for one thing. And he needs to be backed up and supported by your prayers for him. He's your shepherd. You should never take your shepherd lightly or take him for granted. Your leaders, you should never take them for granted, your board members. They need God's wisdom. They need support. They have decisions to make. They're the leaders of this church. And as the leaders go, so goes the church. Right? And myself as well. We need to be surrounded by prayer every day, because you're depending on us, on your pastor, to guide you, to lead this church. I'm just saying that. And the sermons that he preaches, they can go out like the wind if they're not backed up by prayer. And pray, God, make them effective. Make the words that he says effective to whoever listens. So that's just a word that I want to give you this morning, because I read that quote and I thought, yes, we need to keep our leaders. How many churches, you know, when something goes wrong in a church, who gets the blame first? The preacher or the board members, don't they? So keep them in prayer and watch yourselves. Is there something that you should be doing? I wasn't planning on saying this, but is there something that you could be doing to assist him or to encourage him? Don't just ignore him. He needs fellowship. He needs to know that you're behind him. You have a strong pastor. You'll have strong leadership. You'll have strong church. Am I not right? Corporately. That is true. Yeah, he needs you. He needs you. I need you too. And I'm concluding. Jesus found it necessary to pray. So with you and I. Jesus prayed in the morning sometimes, sometimes in the evening, sometimes at night. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer. And if Jesus needed it, no less do you and I need it, or more so. If we're going to have power to be and be effective in this world, prayer, and Sarah, I admire your anxiousness and your devotedness to doing things for God, to you know, but as a caution, and I'm behind you, I'll help you whatever you need to do. But all the programs and all the speakers and all the music and whatever else we do in our church is not going to mean a row of beans again unless it's backed up and soaked in prayer. I don't care who you get in here to, and we have good worship leaders. They do their best. We have good speakers, and we could have all, oh, you should get this one, and you should get that one. And yeah, they're good, and that's true. The speakers at camp were good. But what does it amount to if it's not backed up by prayer? And I don't want us to come up with any programs if they're not prayed through and prayed over and prayed as they're going to. That's the power behind them. Otherwise, we're just having a party. And we're going somewhere on Sunday mornings because we've got to have a sing-song and have a word. I'm just feeling, brothers and sisters, I think the urgency is there. Time is short. And I think God is calling us back to seriousness. That's just my feelings. My final conclusion is, I want to read a couple of verses in 1 Samuel. I need to get a drink before I do that. First Samuel chapter 12. And actually, it's the verses that initially started this sermon, a thought that the Lord gave me a long time ago, probably a year or more, maybe more, I don't know when, long time ago, and I've thought about it many times since. Thought maybe I'll preach on that sometime. So when Peter asked me to preach, actually it was on Monday, I think, I thought, to start off my week like that. Now I got to think about it the rest of the week. But I figured what I would actually had it on a little piece of paper on my dresser. And when I read that verse, I thought, you know, I just can't take that verse out and read it. I've got to look at the background for it. I've got to see why it's there, which is good to do. And I ended up back at the first chapter of Samuel, 1 Samuel. And if you read all of 1 Samuel, this is what it meant to me anyway, you will find that the scenarios in the nation of Israel at the time are very similar to the scenarios and the situation that we find our nation in today. It's true. There was Eli the priest and judge. And I want you to get this. God knows exactly what's going to happen down the road. And God, knowing what would happen to Eli and his sons and the sin, God prepared Samuel, called little Samuel, in advance, because he knew that he wanted to set Samuel up as a leader, because he knew Samuel would be needed. God chose Samuel. And those little boys and girls, young boys and girls, Hannah prayed for Samuel, and she dedicated him to the Lord. She brought him to the house of the Lord, right? And that is where Samuel heard God's voice to be the future leader of Israel at that time. Don't underestimate the importance of bringing your children to church or to camp or somewhere where they can hear the voice of God. You know, how do we know if God is going to raise up one of those boys or young girls to be a leader? Bring them, train them, not just in church, but at home. Train them to be open to the voice of God, because they will be our future leaders, and we want godly future leaders in our nation and in our church. And so God knew what was happening, and he raised up Samuel. And then there was, Eli died, a terrible way. And then there was the battle at Mizpah, and I won't get into all the details, it would take too long. And it was through Samuel's prayer, the godly leader, that the Israelites defeated the Philistines. The Israelites were frightened. Samuel, you got to pray for us, Samuel. Samuel, pray for us. And Samuel prayed, and the Israelites defeated the Philistines. And we go on, and then Israel asked Samuel for a king. They were evil. They were disobeying God. They were not living the way that God wanted them to do. They were rejecting God's ways. And then God directs Samuel. Samuel says, I would rather not make you a king, because you know what you're doing. You know how evil you are. I'd rather not make you a king. But God says, Samuel, anoint Saul as their king. And Saul was a godly man at the time. And eventually Saul rejects God and goes the wrong way. In the meantime, God, knowing Saul would fail, he has David prepared to take over from Saul. And what I'm trying to say this morning is our federal elections are coming up, and our nation is in a mess. Anybody disagree with that? Our nation is in a mess. They've rejected God. They have sinned. They have no time for God or his ways. And as I was preparing this sermon again, I got an email from, actually on the office computer, from a pastor and his wife, or mainly the woman, I think, in our area, who said, we're here in this church, and I feel an urgent, I want to urge the church to pray for our nation, for righteousness, and for the elections. And I thought, yep, that's true, yep, you're right on. And I thought, I thought when I was going through this, yep, we need to pray that God will set up righteous leaders. I don't know who he has down the road, and if there is a righteous leader, I don't know. But we need, through prayer, to have our input into where this nation goes. Anyone agree? Just as God set up righteous, godly men all the way down through, they failed. I don't know, I was going to say, what God is going to do with this nation, but I fear that there could be judgment. There could be judgment. I'm not a prophet. But just as our nation has rejected God and disobeyed him as the Israelites were, and God, in his mercy, sent them leader after leader, and they didn't have sense enough, really, to come back to God. Billy Graham says, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. And 1 Timothy 2 says, exhorts us for make prayers and supplications and intercessions for kings and all in authority. It's our responsibility to pray for our nation, for the leaders, and the future of our nation. It's the future of our children and our grandchildren. So I want you to read, 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23 and 24. And it's Samuel is giving his farewell. He says, I'm old now, I'm old and gray, and I've been your leader from my youth until this day, and here I stand. I testify against me. It's in the first part of the chapter 12. Have I taken anyone's oxen? Have I done anything wrong? They said, no, you've been good, Samuel. There's nothing we have against you. But now he says, okay, I guess I'm old and gray now. It's time, you have your king. But this is my prayer for you, Samuel says. We go with verse 22. Start at verse 22, Viv. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. And I believe that God, if we pray, that God will have mercy on his people. Then it says, as for me, Samuel says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. But if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Samuel saying, be it far from me that I should sin by failing to pray. And I looked at that and I thought, and I did do some research on it. Maybe we do sin by failing to pray. It's a commandment. It's something that is required of us. It is much needed. And if we don't pray, maybe we are sinning. I said something we can theologically debate. But don't sin, or don't fail anyway. Don't fail to pray. May I not fail to pray for you, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. And I think God is calling us back. Fear the Lord and serve him with all your heart. And maybe he's saying to this nation, but if you persist in doing evil, both you and your nation will be swept away. How long is God going to tolerate the evil that is going on in our nation? We had this poster, I had it out on the bulletin board. It came from the head office. There are 4.1 million souls in Alberta and Northwest Territories, depending on our prayers. I can't pray for all them. Well, you can pray for some. You can pray for one or two, you know. People are depending on us for our prayers. And there are other people that are depending upon you for your prayers. God is calling us and reminding us that, as the bookmark says, never underestimate the power of prayer or the power of the lack of prayer. We give the enemy territory when we don't pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Are you going to pray? If you don't pray, who will? We need to pray for our youth. Oh, when I look at the window, in my kitchen window, when school is in and I see those youth, I think, oh, Lord. You know, oh, Lord. And the children. And the schools and the economy and the marriages. Oh, the devil has got an attack on marriages now. Oh, it's just in and out, you know. Oh, I don't like you today, you know. Oh, you tripped over me, or you said a wrong word. Well, I don't like you today. I don't want you today. It's just this free society. Marriage has no sacredness anymore. And, oh, if I want a man, a man and a man. Well, I don't need to get into that. It's just gone crazy. Evil has come in. And brothers and sisters, pray. Pray, pray, pray. So as I close this morning, I hope it hasn't been too hard on you, but it's from the Lord. I believe God wants us to come back to seeing that, you know, whether you've not been praying, I don't know, but I want to encourage you in the urgency and the necessity of praying in this day and age for yourself, for your church, for your town, for your country. And I'm going to do something a little bit different. If I don't know how it's going to go, but I'm going to try it. in how we close our service this morning, and I would like for you to cooperate with me. First of all, if there's anyone here this morning and you have not bowed your knee to the Lord and asking forgiveness of sin, you're lost. You're lost. Because the only way to be saved is through confessing your sin and asking the Lord into your heart to forgive you of your sins. That's the first and most important prayer. That's what Christ died for. So if you would like to come this morning when I get into what I'm going to do and give your heart to Christ, that would be the best thing that you could ever do. Because in this world, you're just going down, 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 down. This world's going down, down without prayer. So if you're here this morning and God has been calling you and you'd like to give your heart to the Lord, make things right with God. It's a very simple thing to do, and we will pray with you. And if you're here and there is something between you and another brother and sister, I'm not expecting you to go and, you know, make a big scene about it. But if there is, if you do need to make something right, because it happens, you know, and the enemy just want to make it, put a little, it is toe in the door there. It happens. And brothers and sisters, we might not always agree with each other on everything. No, I know that. It's not going to happen, probably. But at least we need to be one in the body of Christ. There is strength in unity. What does the verse say in Psalms? About unity, I can't get it right now. Maybe someone knows it. Oh, how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And let your differences go, but say, look, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. So what I want us to do this morning is, I want you all to stand, first of all. And We're going to wait for a minute. Like I said, if you're here and you would like to come to the altar and make things right with God, I want you to do that. But I've been talking a lot, preaching a lot on prayer this morning. And we're going to take a moment. We're going to be quiet, first of all. There's nothing wrong with being quiet. It's not that late, and you're not that hungry, I hope. But we're going to take a moment and be quiet before the Lord. We're going to pray. I want you to be quiet before the Lord, and I will. And maybe God will lay someone or something upon your heart that needs...